Support for today's episode of The Rewatchables comes from Collection by Michael Strahan, available exclusively at JCPenney. Collection by Michael Strahan makes it easy to look good and feel your best no matter the occasion. The collection includes suit separates, sport coats, dress shirts, neckwear, belts, accessories, basics, denim, luggage, and shoes. Big and tall and boys' sizes too. Collection by Michael Strahan, available exclusively at JCPenney. Visit a store near you or go to jcp.com. We're also brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network, where you can find The Big Picture, our movie podcast that is heated up as we headed into award season, including Golden Globes reactions this week with Sean Fennessy and Amanda Dobbins. And since we're here, I should mention the Book of Basketball 2.0 podcast. We're going through Dirk Nowitzki's career right now. There's a new one up this week about Game 7, 2006 Spurs versus Mavericks. You can subscribe to all of our podcasts on Apple, on Spotify, on Stitcher, on Google, wherever you get your podcast. All right, here we go. Quite a large and economically diverse crowd here at the Michelob Invitational. The Rewatchables is coming up next.
Y'all ready for this?
Meet Happy Gilmore. He was a hockey player.
Don't you ever touch my puck!
Now he's going from the rinks to the links.
Where are you going with those clubs, punk?
I'm your caddy.
He's got the swing.
He shoots, he scores!
He's got the drive.
This guy sucks.
He's got the ball.
All right, let's go.
Adam Sandler is Happy Gilmore.
All right, we're doing Happy Gilmore. Sean Fennessy is here. Special guest, the Safdie brothers.
Hello.
Benny and Josh.
Great to be here. Thank you.
It's awesome.
You requested this.
We did.
You said we want to come on the Rewatchables and we want to do an Adam Sandler movie because you just have him in your new movie, Uncut Gems. This is not a promotional vehicle. We just really want to talk about Happy Gilmore.
Yes.
I mean, there's not.
Well, who doesn't?
I feel like we accidentally quote it constantly anyway. Right. I mean, it's between Happy Gilmore and his first and second comedy records that just get quoted on set naturally.
Yeah, it's kind of insane. Like, I'll look at Sandler and just go to quote something, not realizing it's from Happy Gilmore.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, that's your thing.
You know, on set, someone says like, oh, is that three or four? Is that take three or four? I was like, oh, that's I think that's four. It's like, oh, great, you can count. I was like, you can count on me waiting for you in the parking lot. And, I don't know. It's just these things just keep popping up all the time.
Were you guys starstruck the first couple of days trying to direct him, or you just get over it?
Well, the first time we met with him, he wanted to play basketball. So that was, you meet him and he's covered in sweat.
Yeah.
And, he might as well be wearing
all artifice is gone.
Might as well be wearing the Subway t-shirt. And that, that was a moment.
But my working theory with him is that he did grown-ups just for the basketball scene so he could seem impressive.
Because he's actually pretty good.
He is good. I know. Yeah. And the other guys, they took a big L in grown-ups.
He'll chicken wing you, though, on the court.
He's got a good mid-range game.
Sean Fennessy,
yes.
My working theory on Happy Gilmore.
Shoot.
It's the mid-1990s baby of Stripes and Caddyshack.
Oh.
They reproduced, they had a child, and they made Happy Gilmore.
I buy it. I don't know if we necessarily get that. Stripes secretly is like a war movie.
The first 20 minutes of Stripes is basically the first
For
20
sure.
minutes of Happy Gilmore.
Totally. I buy it.
And then it goes into Caddyshack. What makes this movie so rewatchable for you?
It's part of what Josh and Benny are saying, which is maybe the most quotable Sandler movie, the most jokes per minute, but also it's the best example of what makes him so good, I think, which is that, and you guys identify this in your movie, I think Adam Sandler is at his best when he's basically a total sociopath.
Yeah.
And he's a really likable sociopath,
right?
You're rooting for this sociopath, but there's something wrong with Happy Gilmore and you can't take your eyes off him. He is a maniac and so angry.
Happy Gilmore was just trending on Twitter the other day
because the football player.
He pulled the helmet off and hit the guy.
He pulled a Happy.
There's the rule.
I still hold the record for the only player to remove my skate and try to kill a man with.
And it's a rule in the NFL book where you can't take your helmet off and use it as a weapon.
Yeah.
And so it was just like Happy.
That's a happy.
Yeah. Well, exactly. So he's, sociopathic.
I was in college in the 90s. He ends up on SNL during a time when they're just adding all these bit players. And it's like probably the best cast in the history of the show. Mm-hmm. And you can see him trying to fit in. And it's just so much talent. It's tough. And he did a couple weekend updates. He sang some songs. The thing that he did that I was like, oh, this guy's going to be a star. He did something. I think it was with Shannon Doherty. It was the Denise show. It was this talk show about this guy whose girlfriend broke up with him. And he had his pictures behind him. And then he would have guests on and he would, it would be like, somebody, hey, what's going on, man? He's like, so have you heard from Denise? And he was just like a psycho. And that was when I was like, oh, this is something. But as Sean said, the psychotic Adam Sandler is the funniest Adam Sandler.
Well, he's always so grounded. That's like, we were just like looking at some things and the scenes are so insane in Happy Gilmore. And yet you totally believe, oh yeah, he's got to win for his grandmother. Something about it. It's totally real. You know, I don't know what.
The premise of the movie though is so ridiculous. Yes. It's like the house goes into foreclosure, but then Shooter McGavin is buying
Shooter McGavin, one of the greatest villains of all time.
Incredible. Yeah. One more step, I burn the house down, piss in the ashes.
The Christopher McDonald's performance, it's either that or his performance in Requiem for a Dream. I don't know which one's more evil.
I actually was, for some reason, I went down a Christopher McDonald like rabbit hole on YouTube.
It's amazing.
I was watching and he said that putt that he hits when he goes crazy, he said he had a bet with everybody on the crew that he could hit that putt and nobody believed him. And it was like the second or third take and he hit it and he just went wild. And that was like part of the energy.
It was full method.
Method, exactly.
Oh, you should have saved that story for half-assed internet research.
Oh, I did not know that.
That was half-assed.
Yes. And well, it was there.
So comedy is 1994 to 96. Ace Ventura, Dumb and Dumber, Tommy Boy, Billy Madison, Kingpin, Happy Gilmore, and Black Sheep.
Oh, man.
All in like such 2.5 years.
Time. What happened, What happened?
It was all the children of Saturday Night Live just started to make movies.
I know.
And they were
and
all
then,
silly.
And In Living Color.
Yeah.
With Jimmy Carrey.
But I mean more
Jimmy,
like the.
I don't think if anyone's ever called him Jimmy Carrey.
I mean more like the Eddie Murphy SNL.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And Caddyshack and Stripes and that whole generation. And then those people became grown-ups who had money to make movies.
Yeah.
And there's a silliness that was grand. There was always one big star.
Mm-hmm.
And they were silly but fun. Mm-hmm. They were always over 90 minutes. They never tried to do too much. They weren't worried about any sort of being woke, diverse, anything. They were just like, what's funny? Let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of nostalgic for this era. I don't know if it ever comes back.
I can't even believe that that existed in that period of time.
It's like 30 minutes.
I don't know if it does come back. I don't think so. Maybe it's just, I mean, the Caddyshack. It's funny because Sandler – Billy Madison is kind of like a back to school, and Happy Gilmore is kind of like his Caddyshack.
Yep.
And Dangerfield is his god, and like there are like someone. I don't think Dangerfield ever becomes a celebrity. I don't think we can have another.
When
Dangerfield.
Was his first movie?
He was a movie star until he was 60 years old. Yes,
I didn't know who he was until Caddyshack.
Yeah,
and even then he was just the guy from Caddyshack.
Well, that definitely can't happen. I mean, there can't be Rodney Dangerfield becoming a huge comedy star, but just the idea of a big hit comedy movie feels hard to imagine.
Yeah.
You know, something that like takes over the culture. Happy Gilmore didn't take over the culture, but Adam Sandler sort of did over the course
Happy
of the
Gilmore
next four
didn't
movies.
Take took over my culture.
Oh my God.
Me too.
Yeah, hands down.
Did it take over culture? I mean,
I'm like,
we were just reading that, but there was a ratings boost for Price is Right afterwards.
Right.
Oh, I believe that.
I was mid-20s when this movie came out, and I felt like it was a huge deal with people I knew, but it was pre-internet. We had no idea how popular it was.
Mm-hmm.
But it did feel like
a
Sandler arrival, and the people who really liked him on SNL was a vindication because, you know, he basically got fired from SNL.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it was also a really bad SNL season. Like it was one of those they had to clean house, and it was kind of justified.
Sort of, though. But if you go back and look at that season now, it looks a lot
some
better
of this stuff
in hindsight. You know,
yeah.
It looked like, look at that cast that he was with that last year that he was there.
It was very, put it this way, if that season was happening in 2019, there would have been a lot of toxic masculinity things.
For sure. Yeah, it would be different.
It would have been it was a lot of over the top. And I think they just wanted a clean house and get it back to being a sketch thing. He never totally fit in on that show because he was always Adam Sandler.
He's absurdist. He's like he's kind of like a Jerry Lewis in a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like he's peculiar in a very original way, which makes his characters work in movies because like in a movie you're like, oh yeah, we can suspend disbelief and we can get into it. Like the beauty of Happy Gilmore is that he's a hockey player. That's like, it's funny. It's like we did this red carpet thing in New York NHL films were on the red carpet. I'm like, they're asking me, they're like, what's your tie to NHL? I was like, I like Mike Richter, and Mark Messier. I was like, well, why do you ask? They're like, you know, because of Sandler. I was like, well, what do you mean? He's like, you know, Happy Gilmore. I'm like, oh my God, forgot it. It's a hockey movie first.
Yeah.
Then a golf movie.
You're right. It does the hockey and golf communities. This is one of their movies.
They own it. Yeah. I asked Stanley that is, do you still play golf? He's like, yes, I don't do it as much. But like, I always, I just imagine him. I mean, the fact that he invented that swing. That swing was so iconic. You know how many times I've actually like pulled over to a driving range and tried it?
I don't know if they had CGI back then either, right?
Oh, those shots are incredible of the ball passing through. It's like, it makes me want to like really get into golf.
It's definitely animated though. He's not actually driving it 450 yards.
Well, I just think that it looks realistic.
It's edited. It's the point of view shots of the ball flying through. And
I remember
the
there was a great story. There was like an urban legend, probably not urban legend, but whatever. Some type of legend about this gorilla who they put a golf club in its hands.
Our grandfather told us this
story. And he would hit, they would drive the ball 400 yards every time. And they'd be like, oh my God, he's going to be a sensational golf player. And then he gets to the the green, and he hits it another 400 yards.
Right.
He doesn't know what putting is.
So when you're directing him, he's obviously in his 20s, was this guy who just loved being around his buddies and busting balls. And that's basically how this script was done. It was just him and Tim Hurley, and they're just making jokes and throwing them in the movie. Is he still like that? Because when you hit your late 40s, it's tough to keep that all the time. You have kids, you got mortgages.
He's still pretty, like, we were having a lot of fun on set just with, like, joking around, but it was pretty serious in the sense of like, okay, we wanted to get into that mindset of this guy, and he wanted to disappear into a new person.
Right.
And so there was that same energy. Like, it was weird because production's super stressful and crazy, but there was always that like element of being on like a danger field. So he was telling jokes to everybody on the set, trying to keep it light, even though it was kind of insane.
And he also had a basketball hoop set up on the stage, and we were constantly like, Loughran, who's in a lot of the movies, Jonathan Loughran, he's, constantly searching for, he works with Sandler still, and he's constantly searching for a hoop for us to play during lunchtime and just to get a quick sweat in, which adds a level of adds a level of happy to the movie.
There was one moment when he's coming in and out of the, if you haven't seen the movie, Kevin Garnett's in the movie and he goes.
Don't spoil your movie though, because there's so many surprises.
There's just Kevin Garnett's in the movie, but he's trying to sell Kevin Garnett on something, and he goes in and out of his back room. And on set, that went on for like 15 minutes, back and forth, because every time he kept coming back, he was so excited. He's like, all right, what do I say? And we send him out with another zinger.
I'm deep in Nick's world, so I would just send him the most deep cut 2012 Nick's references.
Just to hear what Garnett would say back to him.
What do we think about this Lynn guy? You think there's any validity to him? And they were like,
what are we thinking? That was my favorite. What are we thinking? Like, I'm only going to agree if you agree.
My favorite was because deep on Nick's Twitter in 2012, not a very nice nickname for Mike Woodson appeared, and it was Vagina Mouth. And because his mouth kind of looked like
if you rotated his head.
Well, he had that beard.
That intense.
Yeah. I loved Mike Woodson.
I didn't like it when East is Big was his biggest mistake.
I love Mike Woodson.
But totally
he popped out of the room. He's like, what do we think about Vagina Mouth? And Cagey's like, who the hell is Vagina Mouth? You know what I mean? Only like deep cut psychopathic Knicks fans who are deeply unhappy would say something like that.
This is the earliest we've gotten a Vagina Mouth on the Rewatchables. Yeah. By far.
That's going to be the 100th episode.
But I think that on set the happy references did come few and like you can't control them. Like Sandler would be like, are we gonna go have dinner after we're done shooting today? And I'd be like, well, Benny and I have like to do our hour prep for tomorrow. And he's like, no, we're gonna go and do it. And I said, no. And then he would look at me and I'd be like, shoot her. Yeah. We're gonna be friends.
And we're gonna go to the Red Lobster and catch some grub.
Yeah. It's just constant references.
What about the irony that you guys love the Knicks, but you made a movie that's really an homage to the 2012 Celtics and the end of the KG Pierce.
You know how hard that was for me?
I appreciated it.
When we had to cast, and I saw when we were had to recast from Joel Embiid, and I looked down at the recently retired players and I saw KG on the list, I immediately was like, never in a million years. I hate Kevin Garnett. But I hated him because I was a Knicks fan and his whole persona heel thing worked on me. So
literally
the best.
The first things we asked Garnett was, so Amari had time on the clock, right? And he's like, come on. He's like, that was 9 years ago in a regular season
game.
And Josh,
you remember the game though, right?
I do, but
of course. But we are convinced that the Knicks would have had it. There's like a whole alternate timeline that we've created that the Knicks would have won a championship. D'Antoni would still be there.
Oh my God.
No Melo trade.
If he had made that basket, total transformation.
Amari's lasted like 30 games.
But it would have been different. He would have had the help. It would have been
the rest of that roster though.
Yes.
Really good.
It was the mistake.
No, the mistake was amnestying when you amnestied Billups to sign Chandler.
God. Yes.
That was when it falls apart right there. Because then you could have had the amnesty for Amari.
I know. We needed that amnesty. To me, he was the first $100 million contract.
Yeah. Melo was playing the four all regular season. And then as soon as the playoffs hit, Woodson took him off. And then he went big in the East. And then
against Ray Hibbert.
And it totally changed.
Ray Hibbert's
the biggest
block. Remember that block?
Verticality. That was the problem.
Yes. Yeah. That was the first time you ever started hearing about that. Like, that's when the Knicks died.
Can we go back to the part where Joel Embiid was supposed to be in this movie?
Did you not know that?
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Joel was attached for like 8 months. And we were going to Sixers games and talking with Joel. Well, the themes of the movie, Sandler's character gets an African opal brought in and he wants to kind of reclaim it. Yeah, we were you know, spitballing, you know, writing jokes kind of with Joel. And then Sandler, we couldn't shoot during the summer, so we had to push into the regular season. And then right away, an active player went off the table. But it was Joel for a while. Actually, Joel's manager plays Kevin's manager, Jenny Sachs. And she's awesome. And she, you know, helped, you know, make Kevin feel totally at home because she's in that world.
If you had gotten Embiid, he would have been really good for the first 80% of the movie and then gotten tired and been terrible the last 20%.
Joel.
And then you would have had to rest him repeatedly during the last few scenes.
That's rude.
Joel is great.
You got to trust the process.
Before we go into Gilmore, can we talk about Sandler really quick?
Yeah, of course.
Career-wise?
Yeah. One of my absolute fucking favorites.
I know you love
ever.
Him the most.
Yeah.
One of the strangest careers of any A-lister. He's has this whole major comedy run. Every once in a while, he's in a super serious movie, and mm-hmm. he's really good. Mm-hmm. He's done a shitload of kids' movies and Netflix movies, and I think he's more known for that, especially the last 12 years. But there's always been this talent lurking in him mm-hmm. that every so often he's like, oh, I'm going to remind people I'm a really good actor. Funny People, the first hour of Funny People, I think he's legitimately amazing.
Yeah. He's playing a version of himself in that movie. Yeah.
A version of himself, but not himself.
No, he actually
creates a character almost out of himself. What do you make of this after we're now three decades in with Sandler?
A couple things. One, classically trained actor, people don't know that. He's a really, really, really good actor. Two, Josh and Benny, PTA, Apatow, great filmmakers see something in him. They know that they can pull something new from him. He's inspiring to them, so they're inspiring to him. Also, he just has taste. Like people want to judge him based on Grown Ups 3, but he, first of all, Happy Gilmore.
Was there a Grown Ups 3?
It's coming. I'm sure it's coming.
Wow, good news for my kids.
I just think that people want to presume that the worst thing you've done is representative mm-hmm. of your whole career, but ultimately, he's got the most variety of any comedy star, really, of the last 25 years in terms of the kinds of movies he's made. So, I don't know. He's constantly surprising.
I think what he did in Uncut Gems, you think about the big comedy actors over the last 30 years, like Jim Carrey, mm-hmm. he could have created a version of that character. I don't know if he could have pulled off some of the nuances with it, but.
Well, he's not a Jew, so.
No, but that, hard. Other than that.
But Jim Carrey's another one for us. It was Jim Carrey and Adam Sandler, as you know, I saw all those movies and. Jim Carrey also had this absurdist theater thing going on, and he's incredible.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey, I mean, Sandler was always more our guy, but I agree with you. I think Carrey, I mean, Truman Show is a great reminder to people that he, obviously Eternal Sunshine, you know, even Baumbach in Meyerowitz, he references Happy Gilmore with that tumbling scene with Stiller.
That's right.
The Bob Barker,
that's right.
Happy Gilmore fight, you know?
That's pretty great.
There's no way Baumbach, Noah didn't think about that. There's no way.
Because some comedians or comic actors can't pull off going too dark.
Yeah.
Like Will Ferrell has tried and he just hasn't totally been able to mm-hmm. do it, even though he's been a monstrously successful actor. Like Chevy Chase was another one who couldn't do it. Bill Murray was able to figure out how mm-hmm. to do it. But it's kind of 50-50 whether the guys can do it or not.
Yeah, there's something with Sandler that he goes there, but you almost don't feel like he's going there, which is what lets him succeed. Because you're like, oh my God, he's still preserving the parts of him that you love so he's not abandoning that persona, which I think is huge. And there isn't a kind of a betrayal on the part of the audience. They really feel like, oh, there's that guy in there, you know, and you want to pull for him.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know.
Sandler turns in some great dramatic stuff in Click too. I mean, I think in every Sandler movie, we were on the set of Murder Mystery and I was watching him during his close up and he felt compelled to just improvise little moments to just make just reify the moment, be like, no, we're actually on a yacht. This person actually did just get stabbed.
Right.
And, you know, and his co-stars were kind of like, what are you doing? You know what I mean?
He was at one point, everybody's like, oh my God, it felt so real for everybody. They're like, whoa, what's going on right now? Because he just totally reifies the situation. It's amazing.
The other thing that's cool about him is that most of the movies that he makes, if he's not making a movie with guys like you, he's working with his friends and he's trying to create the best possible life for himself, which seems obvious, but is underrated as a professional pursuit.
Yes. Yeah. As a life choice.
Yeah, to just say, like, what I want to do is be around the people that I love and that love me, that I trust, doing something that we find entertaining. That's very authentic.
Well, he basically invented the let's go on location and I could bring my whole family. And it's like, just go with it as a Hawaii trip. By the way, it's one of my daughter's favorite movies. Yeah. But it's just him and his family. And it's the same thing like with Murder Mystery. It's set in Monaco.
Yeah.
It was all over the place, too. It was like a world travel.
Kind of no reason to be in Monaco. It's super expensive there. But Sandler's like, I just need to cross Monaco off my list. Yeah. But yeah. I admire it, though. I like that.
I mean, he loves being around his
people wherever he goes.
And I love his family is super important to him.
But I also love seeing all of the people in his world in the movie, like Covert and Locke, you know, like seeing him in it. It's like, oh, and you can't even recognize Covert and Happy Gilmore. You know,
he's a caddy.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Yeah.
He's also made some bad movies, and he seems like they bounce off him.
Well, the ones that mean a lot to him, you know, they're important to him. And then the ones that he, you know, just kind of walks through, I think I think people see them and he's proud of that. But I think that he's just kind of like, well, I'm not going to even worry about that. I'm just going to worry about the ones that mean.
It reminds me of an athlete where you have like a 20-year career and it's like, yeah, that one team went 5-11, that one went 3-13. But then that other year I made the Eastern Finals.
I mean, he's always working, which is crazy. I mean, he's like he needs to constantly have his brain busy. He's got a lot going on up there.
So he gets fired from SNL in 1995, and him and Hurley had written Billy Madison, which was successful.
Iconic.
Yeah.
Opened the door for them to do their next movie with the studios really
backing it. Same director, yeah.
They come up with a high concept premise for a film about a hockey player who smacks a 400-foot drive. That was the starter. They're just sitting around shooting the shit. They start with that, and then they try to create a whole thing. They work on the script. They're just writing jokes. And a lot of these comedies start this way where it's like a one sentence premise and then just a lot of funny things that the two people who do the thing like, and they just kind of cram it in and like, eventually this will be a movie. And in this case, it's a best case scenario. What I didn't realize, Judd Apatow allegedly performed a script rewrite but went uncredited.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You knew that one?
He talked about it during Zohan. When they were promoting Zohan,
we didn't even talk about Zohan.
Yeah, Zohan, incredible.
This movie comes out. It earns $41.2 million on a $12 million budget.
In the 90s.
Paving the way
for
the Adam Sandler run.
Yeah.
Because people are like, oh, so we could make four times as much. And I'm not even counting. So this is 96. Yeah. This is right as the cable on-demand blockbuster DVD era. Mm-hmm. I got a DVD player in 96. This is one of the first ones.
Definition of a rewatchable. Yeah. You can put it on every day.
Our buddy who ran a video store in Philadelphia said this was constantly on the screen.
Yeah.
Constant. He said he's only seen the movie maybe two or three times, but he's listened to it 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. Every time he was at work, it was just on because it's the perfect thing for you just to sit, laugh at a scene and move on.
I think this is like a perfect definition of a rewatchable is when you hear the bumper of the studio head and you immediately think of the first music cue that hits,
which is
what happens here. You hear that like
it's universal.
But I hear the Happy Gilmore scene to this day.
It's Tuesday's Gone, right?
Yes.
That's the first song.
The soundtrack of the movie is incredible. Yeah, and that's Sandler's taste right there. Yeah. It turned me on to a lot of music.
I want to kiss you all.
Exile. Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
So the subtle, he does it with his hand against the buzzer. He's like, you can see he's imagining the human figure.
Magic. Magic's a great track on that, you know.
So you have Dumb and Dumber, Tommy Boy, and Happy Gilmore, I think, emerge out of all of these comedies as like everyone had the DVD. They were on all the time. They didn't have to be edited too much on like TNT, TBS, whatever.
That's true. This isn't the dirtiest movie.
No,
it's not
you
as
could
dirty.
Although
really
the TV version's pretty funny because I was just watching on the plane and like the things they choose to change like are pretty insane. Like I guess when he's with Chubbs outside of the thing, he's like, "Where'd you get that like slock?" It's like the way they like. They won't, but there's only. Right. A couple
By the way,
lines.
Do you know this about Chubbs? So
oh, yeah,
there's
this is
a
huge.
There's a in our movie. There's a surprise cameo in it, and I'm gonna spoil it because it's not the biggest deal. Because it's important to talk about for rewatchables. John Amos appears in our movie.
Yeah.
And when John Amos was coming on the set, Sandler decided to tell me, he's like, "Did you know that me and Herlihy originally wrote Chubbs to be played by John Amos?"
Whoa.
And I said, yeah. What? Yeah. And he said, but
that didn't come out of my half-assed internet research.
But because no one knows about
this.
This
is totally new.
So then, but the studio's like, it's got to be Carl Weathers. And they're like, well, we love Carl Weathers.
But it was written for
but
Amos.
We wrote it for Amos. They're like, it's got to be Carl Weathers. It's like, all right, fine. Not the biggest compromise because we love Carl Weathers. And so John Amos shows up on set and I bring this up with him and he's like, I just say to him, I was like, you know, Adam's here. Adam will be here any second. I heard you guys were going to do a movie together at one point in a while. He goes, oh yeah, whatever happened to the golf movie?
Oh, that's amazing.
I didn't have the heart to tell him, but like, that heart movie turned on to like, one of those,
oh my God. It didn't work out, you know.
Jesus. Because for him, that would have been incredible. Because Good Times, iconic comedy, sure. 70s. Yeah. 80s Coming to America.
Yeah.
Yep. And then 90s, he's Chubbs.
Yeah.
He would have been a good Chubbs. Good for recasting couch.
I love Amos was like, Jimmy Walker, I can't take it. I'm out with Good Times. He was like, no more. I'm out. I'm not on the show. It's like the number five show in America. 30 million
Brave.
People watching.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm done. I can't handle this guy. Let's take a break to talk about the only network showing Elf this holiday season. That's right. AMC. The Rewatchables is getting in on the fun this December. We're breaking down Will Ferrell's holiday classic. That's right. Chris Ryan and I will be making our Rewatchables television debut during Elf on December 16th at 8 p.m. part of AMC's Best Christmas Ever. Don't miss it. It's all made possible by IHOP, where you can try the Elf on the Shelf menu. It's new and only for a limited time. They've got jelly cakes with shimmery Elf sprinkles. Oh, what funnel cakes with powdered sugar. And Merry Marshmallow Hot Chocolate. So be good for pancake's sake and treat the whole family. Remember, tune in, set your DVRs for the Rewatchables on AMC during Elf Monday, December 16th at 8 p.m. Roger Ebert.
What do you say?
I'm curious.
Not a fan.
It's a tough one for you.
Yeah.
This is a running gag on the Rewatchables where we do Roger Ebert's review.
Oh, of in the moment.
My whole take is Roger Ebert was a little overrated and it makes fantasy insane.
Not overrated. He's very important to helping people understand the long arc of film history.
Well, he's wrong a lot and he was wrong here. He gave this film one and a half stars out of four.
Yeah.
Oh, he said Adam Sandler's character, quote, doesn't have a pleasing personality.
Oh my God.
that is
like way wrong.
He seems angry even when he's not supposed to be, and his habit of pounding everyone he dislikes is tiring in a PG-13 movie. That is iconic.
He actually
iconically wrong.
The thing is, he's kind of right while being wrong.
But he's also explaining
there's
everything
right about that.
Exactly.
About him.
Exactly.
But he's so wrong about that.
But he's underlining, I don't know if we've ever seen a comedy star like this. Who is so angry and psychotic, but also you feel like a weird warmth towards.
Well, what's like weird is Ebert, if he was watching the movie through the lens of, you know, an art film or whatever, he would probably have been all those things he's saying you can spin for the positive.
For sure.
I've read Ebert reviews where he says those things on a positive take.
If it's a Herzog movie, he's like, dastardly asshole is a brilliant
this
representation.
Man so angry all the time.
So, I mean, it just speaks to, I think, to the, like, you know, almost schizophrenic nature of Ebert's, like, you know, when he's at the height of his, you know, powerhouse commercialism, like, I got to give it two thumbs, I got to whatever. So that's a bad take, though.
It
one and a half stars
take.
Is a very bad. That's a four-star
It's one of
movie.
His biggest
He's
L's.
Got a lot of bad takes about 90s comedies. And trust me, I was reading those reviews because I was like,
strange,
I need to know what this guy thinks about The Mask. And he was like, this movie sucks. And I was like, what? How could anyone think this? But
tough one. All right, we're going to get to the categories. We're going to take a break first. All right, you know how this goes? The categories? This is like dancing. Just follow our dance moves.
Mm-hmm.
First category is most rewatchable scene. So I'm going to give you some. Okay. I'm going to give you some candidates.
Okay.
Let me run through them.
Okay.
And if I forgot one, tell me after. I'm having a little trouble deciding, should we put the opening credits in as its own most rewatchable scene? Heads, I say we do it. Tails, we don't do it. Hey, Google, flip a coin.
It's heads.
I think the opening credits are incredible.
Oh, great stuff.
The opening credits include him, all the hockey footage.
Yep.
Him saying, "I was the only guy to ever take off his skate to try to stab someone."
Him with his dad.
Which I was awesome. Thinking about how long that would take to take off your skate. You gotta sit down in the
Happy
ice.
Happy Gilmore definitely wasn't lacing up tight, though.
Yeah, maybe not. Ripped him up. The fake penis.
Oh,
sequence right. Where he's got rigs and a gas pump and everyone.
It's incredible.
Wait, and Egon.
With the nail in the
Egon,
head.
The character actor. What's
Iga,
his name?
Ega.
You remember, Richard, no, it's Egon.
No, it's Ega.
Ega, sorry. Yes. You remember there was there's a Mystery Science Theater movie where they
Richard Kiel the Jack.
Yeah, thank you. Yes,
he was Jaws and Moonraker.
Yes, that's right, and also Jaws. Yeah. But he doesn't he take the nail in the head?
Yeah, he takes the nail in the head. Yeah.
But because also his
dad dies at the hockey game. Also in the beginning, right?
He gets
the puck to the head.
The origin story of Happy Gilmore is insane. Yes. His mom is so unhappy that she moves to Egypt, and then his dad dies, and then he's accused of assault in an ice rink.
Yes,
the darkest movie of all time.
I remember. I think my son was like 5 when I first showed this to him. My son, this is like all in his wheelhouse.
Yeah, I'm
and
sure.
As soon as he has the gas pump, he's humping it. My son was like, "This is the greatest human being I've ever seen in my life."
Oh, God.
Also, he lets out a good "you think you're better than me" when he's beating up the hockey coach.
I was going to ask you.
"You think you're better than me?"
Is that where that comes from?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That was,
I think, the first documented "you think you're better than me."
It's that seems great.
I mean, it's what I grew up with in New England. Yeah. But there was a lot of those at parties at 2 a.m. All right, so that's first one. I love a good opening credits. Plus, Tuesday's Gone.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. God,
yeah, great. That's beautiful. The best Skynyrd song, yeah.
Which I'm sure wasn't cheap.
No.
The sound you're talking soundtrack 20 is years expensive. After Leonard Skynyrd, but still like their peak Skynyrd.
Sure. It totally changed the song. Like the song is now
the whole soundtrack.
Happy Gilmore,
it's great. And Skynyrd got a bump. We're down a rabbit hole in '94 because Sweet Home Alabama is in Forrest Gump.
That's right.
So those numbers are probably a little higher on the publishing. What's the other one?
93 Dazed and Confused also used Tuesday's Gone.
Right. That's right. That's
and
right.
It also like a really pivotal part of Tuesday's of the movie.
I wonder if Sandler thought about that when picking the song.
It's just Gilmore.
Yeah, interesting.
I wonder. I mean,
maybe he felt like they didn't use it correctly.
Yeah,
it's possible.
Well, in my head, it's just this. So.
All right, so that's one. Second one, Sandler's girlfriend ditches him, which is just a direct ripoff of Stripes.
"You're going nowhere, Happy, and you're taking me with you. All you ever talk about is being a pro hockey player, but there's a problem. You're not any good."
"I am good. You know what? You're a lousy kindergarten teacher. I've seen those finger paintings you bring home, and they suck."
"I'm sorry, babe. I didn't mean that."
It literally just rips it off. And
but
then
the way
a
it happens
stuff.
Is
yeah,
amazing.
It's great.
The intercoms, y'all, man.
And then also, don't forget, he sleeps with the woman, with the Asian
it's
woman.
It's very sneaky. It's just, she's it's like, just,
you don't want breakfast.
You don't want breakfast.
Yeah.
Incredible.
And there's the kid listening also.
That's
also,
Sandler.
Also, but, I saw that. I actually noticed this in Dirty Work, too.
Who is that? Who's that song? It's Till the Night
Comes. Exile.
Exile, yes. The best.
I Want to Kiss You All Over.
Yes.
"I want to kiss you all over. Dun, dun, dun. Till the night closes in. Till the night closes in."
Terry.
But what's interesting is like Sandler has like such a foundation in both like the city and the kind of rural setting. So like he's in an apartment building.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In I remember in Dirty Work, they're they're kind of in a city. Like they needed a scene where she's throwing stuff off the balcony
right.
to like get rid of Norm Macdonald. But then he's like walking like one block later, then like full on suburbs. So it's just like this interesting conglomeration of like city and suburbs and
McDonald's in that also.
That's right.
Norm Macdonald.
Dirty Work is on the
Christopher McDonald's love Dirty Work.
Dirty Work's on the 2020 rewatchables list.
Great
Dirty Work's great.
Mildred.
I have no idea.
When I saw Norm on the street, I literally rolled down the window and said, "Hey, Mildred.
I asked him because he's friends with the whole Kimmel crew.
Yeah, big gambler,
I was like,
too.
I don't understand. Why wasn't that movie like gigantic? Everyone I know loves that movie. And it was like the only one
Artie
from
Lang,
that
man.
93 to 98 range that didn't kind of make it as an iconic movie.
Yeah,
I don't understand it.
Pops.
It's beloved as a cult classic.
I loved
it. It is. Yeah. It's his. That's
when he's in jail and he's yelling at
that's
the prisoners.
Thing.
What you guys trying to do?
It's despicable.
It's despicable. You should be ashamed of yourself.
It goes on. One beat too long.
Next scene. Happy's double bogey in the first hole at the Waterbury Open.
Oh,
now,
my God.
I'm willing to accept as another rewatchable scene, him in the driving range when somebody says you should play at the Waterbury Open. But I went with this one instead. The double bogey.
Where he takes the shirt off and
beats
the
punches.
And jump around comes in.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Oh.
The Waterbury Open.
That whole first 18.
What's when he punches the guy for heckling
him? He's punching people. Yeah. He's just completely out of his mind.
I think we're moving too quickly past the batting cage.
Oh, yeah.
The batting cage is after that, right?
But isn't that when Chubbs convinces him
After the Waterbury Open, right?
Yeah, that's after.
He goes on the tour after that. Because he says, you're prime for the big bucks. And then he goes, they have the shot of grandma.
The batting cage is one of my favorites.
Incredible. That's after the Open?
Yeah, the batting cage is after.
Oh, okay. Jeez. Chubbs doesn't convince him to play after watching him do that?
Because he played the Waterbury Open, and then he's just like,
no, Chubbs sees him at the drive. Yes. Remember, he's giving
somebody
like,
to do the Waterbury Open.
He's doing the most lazy tutoring or whatever.
Great job.
And then he sees, Happy driving the ball, hitting the back net. And then he, does the Waterbury and then
got
afterwards
okay,
during
okay.
the
I actually had that in What Saves the Best, but I'll do it now because this is my son's favorite part. When he's at the driving range and the couple says, you should play in the Waterbury Open tomorrow. And he goes, yeah, see you guys there.
Hey, you should play in the Waterbury Open tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. I'll see you guys there.
But that was like a big thing with my family with, hey, we should do it. the batting cage.
Oh, batting cage.
We'll just put that over there.
Well, no, the my favorite line is when he looks at Chubbs. Chubbs, yeah, they wouldn't let me play on the pro tour.
Oh, I'm sorry. Because you're black?
Hell no. Damn alligator bit my hand off.
Oh, my God.
That joke is insane.
Next one, hanging with the golfers in the clubhouse when they have the gold jackets when he meets them and they do the ninth
where's
green
yours?
Trick on him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, where's yours? That's the best.
That's a nice jacket.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? They give you one if you win the tour championship.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
It's sort of the biggest tournament of the year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And where's yours?
That's good. It is a good one. He's a funny guy. I'll have mine, 3 months, guys?
That whole dynamic, and it's interesting
that... So sincere,
that,
though, when he says that. Where's
Mark Lai was a real golfer who was the technical advisor on this movie, and he's just happy to come off like a complete douchebag. like Mark Lai's family's like, why are we in this, Dad? Yeah. The ninth green trick is really funny, and then he comes back. Hey, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to look for Shooter. I'm going to kill him. the next rewatchable. The Bob Barker fight at the Pepsi Pro-Am.
There is no way that you could have been as bad at hockey as you are at golf.
All right, let's go.
You like that, old man? You want a piece of me?
I don't want a piece of you. I want the whole thing.
You know what's crazy is for me as a kid, you stay home from school sick. And all it's on television is Price is Right.
Well, that's changed. Right. So that's changed now because that was a big deal.
Yeah, but my point is you're watching this movie. You have the comedy records. You have Billy Madison. Bob Barker shows up. And you're just a kid. And you're like, that's strange. Daytime TV is weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's getting his ass kicked.
But Bob Barker's form is incredible.
Well, he's like a Taekwondo master.
His stance is real boxer. It's crazy.
How about when people thought he died recently, people were using the image of him pretending to be dead when he goes to the Price.
He's really dead looking in that moment.
That scene always makes me think of the MTV Movie Awards and how that used to really matter to me when they won
Best
Fight.
Fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, this is a big night for me to watch the MTV Movie Awards where all my heroes, Bob Barker and Adam Sandler, will convene. Like, that's over. Yeah. That time is over.
Best kiss. Yeah. Actually, you cared. A couple things about that scene. They told him they were using a stunt double, the director, Dennis Dugan.
Okay. Who plays Doug in the movie.
He does.
Is it Dugan or Dugan?
Dugan. And he plays Doug in the movie.
And Barker insisted on doing his own stunts.
I was thinking.
And he said, wait a minute, I know how to fight. So when you see it.
It's him.
I don't think they do the rolling. I don't think he's in the rolling down the green.
No,
but every other scene, he's actually in it.
There's a shot from behind Barker where he's throwing a punch, and it is him.
Yeah.
But he's throwing a haymaker.
He's really got that cross.
His punches look like he's hitting with steel mechanism, right? Yeah. Doesn't
look like it's a snap.
His arm
is like
snapback.
Yes. It's like bam, he's not just loading his
stick. And he looks wiry and like
Sonny
scrappy.
Yeah. The thing is when you
Lincoln, it's like you heard Lincoln was a good fighter. Yes. And, like imagine like Bob Barker is like an Abraham Lincoln
fighter.
It's
the shot from when he punches him into the sand and looking up at him, you see he's got the stance. The legs aren't crossed. He's
right.
ready
he's a trained
for it.
Fighter.
Yeah.
Price's ratings went up, as you said, with all the college kids.
Because
that
crazy.
Was the college kid show.
Yeah.
I have more thoughts on that in a second. Next scene, go to a happy place.
Oh, my God.
The first happy place.
They're all great.
What about when the happy place gets tainted?
That's what I mean. Chris McDonald making out with the old lady. The kiss turns into Gene Simmons.
Yes. They cut that out of the airplane. The kiss, when he sucks the tongue in, that wasn't on the airplane.
Huh.
When he, like, took the
too scandalous.
I don't know why. Yeah, maybe
too scandalous to see.
And, and then it turns into the good happy place. Really, Julie Bowen is a rocket ship from that scene.
She's amazing.
Once
she's,
everyone saw her in the happy place, they're like, "She's something good is happening to her." Because she's puts me in the happy place.
She's in the new Sandler movie that he just finished shooting.
Oh wow!
He like resurrected the Right?
I think so. Yeah.
She kind of sort of looks exactly the same. It's a 25 years ago, and she looks the same.
Exactly the same. I know.
I always appreciated, you know, this wasn't a great era for provocative outfits or his sexuality or really anything. Trust me, as somebody who was single at the time, it's a lot of heavy sweaters, baggy sweaters, big jackets.
I was single too. I was 12 though.
she has some, she actually looks like good in this movie and is wearing clothes that would become a little more popular 6-7 years later.
What about his outfits?
Mm. Well, he's just wearing the Bruins jerseys.
When he's in the
salmon
the
sweatpants with the cutoff
sweater. Cutoff hooded sweater was cool.
And then the last one is just Happy's comeback in the fourth round. Any other rewatchable scenes for you that you feel like are iconic?
There is the scene with Shooter in the woods with what's his name, the guy from
SCTV.
Oh, Joe Flaherty.
Hey, Shooter, I thought we were gonna get some grub.
I love that. I love that entire subplot.
We were gonna be friends. Yeah, the fact that they're like that subtle friendship that's one sided is so awesome.
Well, look, let's get something to eat. There's a Red Lobster nearby. My treat.
Maybe some other time.
Shooter, I thought we were gonna be friends.
Oh, we're friends.
We are. I just gotta go. Okay. Well, I'll be at the Red Lobster in case you change your mind, Shooter. God bless.
The rewatchable, another one is like, you got to play it where the ball lies. And it's like, I had to hit it off Frankenstein's fat foot. You know what I mean? I love that.
But he does it.
Yeah.
Sure, that's two.
Also, wait a second. The auction scene. How are we avoiding the auction scene?
With one more step.
I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast. Oh. You eat pieces of shit for breakfast.
You're in big trouble, though, pal. I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast.
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast?
No.
That's one of the most quotable lines from the whole
every
movie.
Ben Stiller scene.
Oh, yeah. That's where I was going to go. Were you used out on the Ben Stiller subplot?
I'm in. Can we save it? Because I have some. I want to make it a topic.
Oh, well, now your back's going to hurt. You know, like
Is a big one. Fingers hurt is a huge recoil.
Anytime anyone ever complains on one of our sets, it's like, what's that? Your fingers hurt? Well, now your back's going to hurt because you just put landscaping duty. People laugh.
I think the Bob Barker scene is the best scene. And the most rewatchable. It's not just the fight. It's everything leading up to it. As Bob Barker's getting madder and madder, and he's just kind of, and then eventually it's like, you're terrible. How are you on the tour? And he's just like, this guy sucks.
Yeah, we have Flaherty in that scene. You actually have him. And I agree. You know what's cool? I remember when I first saw it, I was like, just seeing like the celebrity golf thing. They do it really well in the movie too, from a filmmaking standpoint. It's just like, you really feel like you're watching some type of like exhibition game.
That's
a good
point. Every golf game feels like it's being covered by the Golf Channel.
Well, ESPN, the whole ESPN tie-in is pretty cool.
Yeah. So
we got to talk about Vern, but I'll save it.
I had for What's Age the Worst, but I'll do it now. Bob Barker being in this movie has aged the worst in this respect. It was so mind-blowing in 1995 because, as you said, Price is Right. It's hard to explain now, especially to somebody under 35, but we didn't have a lot of TV shows at the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
And during the summer, it was like, I think it was on at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. 10 a.m., yeah.
And it was just what you watched. And I remember going to visit my buddy Gus in college at Rollins, and he was 2 years ahead of me, and going, I'm like, I wonder what college is like. And they go to classes, and they're basically like, at 10 o'clock, they're watching The Price is Right. And I'm like, this is what college is like? You guys get to just watch The Price is Right? And they had little games, but it was such an iconic show.
The microphone?
The microphone, the models.
Yeah. Oh my God.
These were like some of the best looking people on TV at the time. And then all the games and then trying to guess. And it was just a really important show. So to see him in this scene, it was like, Bob Barker's in this. And then he's like, wait, is he going to fight Bob Barker? It was absolutely staggering. Yeah.
It was like seeing a baseball player out of uniform. You're like, this isn't, you Barker wear shirts looks, like that,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah, you're a real person.
Yeah, it was like, or like seeing your teacher at a bar when you're in high school and you're like, why is this guy at TGI Fridays? He's supposed to be living inside of the school.
It's also, if you were sick, the only thing that was of interest on television was The Price is Right. And then it just switched to stuff you didn't care about. But
well, I was trying to think like.
It's also the most capitalistic show of all time.
I love it. Guessing the amount.
And like all of Sandler's movies are super anti-capitalist in a weird way. It's just like he never actually wants the money.
He doesn't care about the money in this movie
ever,
at all.
Ever in it's any just of his the house. Movies. It's well, awesome.
I was trying to think. I was going to do this later, but we might as well do this now. What's the 2019 equivalent of the shock value of Bob Barker being in this movie? Mm. Who would that be?
I was thinking
Chris Harrison.
It just wouldn't be shocking. I feel like the Anchorman movies with the fight scenes kind of like blew this up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where they were like the, here's Vince Vaughn for 1 minute.
I'm just saying somebody that's in our lives now, like Scott Van Pelt.
You know who would
Chris
be?
Harrison.
Who's the TMZ guy?
Harvey Levin?
Yes. I feel like
enough people know who that is though?
Yeah, but like him. Yes, I do. I feel like people watch that show. I mean, I assume people watch that show. It's a huge following, right?
But it's, it,
but I
feel
like seeing him would kind of be like, oh, that guy only cares about celebrities. And what their interests are.
Well, it's
and
but what it's he does. This
like
weird.
Gail King. I don't. It's got to be somebody
Oprah?
That you would never in a million years
it's,
expect.
It's
Oprah,
the thing.
Not
is,
Oprah.
Well, it's
Oprah
convincing somebody who
big.
Would never do it. Like in your mind, it was like he would never in a million years ever appear in this thing.
That's a good way to frame it because I was thinking about like the place in the consciousness is probably more like a younger person, like a social media influencer.
I was
you know,
I was thinking social
you wouldn't expect
media,
like Logan Paul to show up in an Adam Sandler
but
movie.
But he was just in the boxing match.
That's true. Yeah. And he also is obsessed with celebrity and fame in a way.
Doris
that, like,
Burke?
Yeah.
Doris Burke.
That's a pretty good one. That's a pretty good one.
She's like, oh, Doris Burke's in this. Wait, she's fighting Happy Gilmore. What's happening?
That's amazing.
All right.
Doris Burke would be unbelievable.
So what do you have for Most Rewatchable?
I think I have the auction scene.
Okay. What do you have?
For me, it's that batting cage with Chubbs. Sean?
I'll go Barker.
Okay. What's age the best? Happy swing. We talked about it, but it's really, I don't know how he did it. It's actually like pretty athletic.
It is.
It is.
I don't think a lot of people could have pulled it off.
Does Sandler golf?
He does golf.
Like frequently?
I don't think he's very good though. I did some research on this.
I think he does it, but like, you know, doesn't do it often.
There was like a really like early short film that we did. I tried to have like there was like a golf aspect. Like one, I swung a golf club playing it. I was just like, oh, I want to try and create a golf swing that was funny. It's not the same.
Yeah.
I'm changing my rewatchable. I'm going with the opening credits.
Okay.
I'm going with that. Because I think about it.
I might do that too.
It's very moving.
It is.
The and fucking right. gas switch.
And his
switch.
His hair too. When he's on the ice.
All right.
And also
opening
credits. When they say to him, they go, "Oh, I think you missed Gilmore." And he goes, "Did I miss Gilmore?" And he looks at him.
Oh yeah.
No, I didn't. Better look next year.
I thought I called your name, didn't I? He goes, no, you didn't.
Oh, didn't I? Yeah.
I forgot about the kneeling scene.
Oh my God. That's it. Okay.
That's
huge.
Unbelievable.
We actually,
that's my favorite scene.
But that came up. Okay, okay.
That came a lot because we would be like, okay, in this, you're going to be blocking out, holding the good energy, block out the bad. Like it's like a merry-go-round, up, down, and around. You know how many times we did that with Sandler? It's like,
well, Sandler, the character of Howard, is up, down, and around.
Well, that's what we literally, that was like a constant. On set when we were talking, that was one that came up a lot.
I had him in What's Age the Best, and fortunately and unfortunately for him, it's what became the best use of Kevin Nealon in a movie.
Mm. For sure.
Like he's like a change-up.
Is it always like this with the TV cameras and the people and stuff?
Oh, yeah. A lot of pressure. You got to rise above it. Mm-hmm. You got to harness in the good energy, block out the bad. Harness, energy, block, bad. Mm. Feel the flow, happy. Feel it. It's circular. It's like a carousel. You pay the quarter, you get on the horse. It goes up and down and around, circular, circle, with the music, the flow, all good things.
Yeah, all right. Well, great. Thanks a lot. Nice to meet you.
It's like a 1-2 count, and he's like the curveball in the dirt that just keeps you off balance.
Well, you don't even know that. You're not even expecting that guy.
That guy, though, should show up in every movie. He should show up in like Phantom Thread. You know, just like get him in there for like 2 minutes talking to Daniel Day-Lewis. But there's no downside.
Well, Why wasn't he in Uncut Gems?
Yeah, well, you know, he probably should have been in Uncut Gems.
Should have, yeah.
We thought about some certain.
Should have been at the family table at the big family scene.
Kneeling?
Putting a yarmulke on, no?
I mean, I could see him being that's tried a pretty to be a part ethnic of the family. Table.
He could have been in the practice facility. Definitely could have been a waiter.
Practice facility.
Yeah.
More would say it's the best. The 9 a.m. sprinkler trick in the ninth room we mentioned. Tuesday's gone. We mentioned this quote. I'm not doing best quotes because this is the best quote in the movie. And this is something that everyone says when they play golf.
Son of a bitch, Paul. Why didn't you just go home? That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me. Suck my white ass, Paul.
Everyone has done that when they played golf. Go to your home.
The one that I play golf. I'm sorry if that's offensive
it's
to you guys.
It's all in the hips?
No, that's
a good one.
It's tap, tap, tap. Oh, yeah.
Just tap it in. Just tap it in. Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap,
tap-a-roo. That's the you'll hear me saying that.
Well, that applies to a lot of life.
Just tap.
Homeless caddy.
Oh, Alan Covert. Yeah, he's the best. Showering. Using the ball cleaner.
That's the only, in my head, the ball cleaner is for cleaning underwear, or socks or whatever. That's what it is.
So homeless caddy, Alan Covert, is the guy. He's like Sandler's Joe House.
Yeah, when are we doing Grandma's Boy?
He's in every Sandler
Wedding Singer. He's amazing in The Wedding Singer, the limo driver.
Sammy the limo driver.
I'm not happy.
Yeah,
you know, it's
Julie Bowen.
Yep,
it's a what stage your best, especially because she became probably the most famous mom of any sitcom of the last 10 years.
10 years on Modern Family.
And it's funny she has this little like early Julie Bowen movie, but I think everybody bought stock in her from this movie. Like, oh,
I had a big crush on Julie Bowen.
Yeah, everyone did.
Yeah,
it was one of those things where it was actually weird. Nobody took advantage of the fact that we all had a crush on her for the next few years in movies or whatever. Yeah,
there's that one moment when she yells for Happy. I know that's like a little thing in my head, which is Happy, look out!
Happy, look out! Ah!
Like, I don't know. There's something about the way that she's screaming for him that for some reason sticks in my head.
I do have some questions about her job, but we can save that for picking this. Okay. What her role is on
the tour.
There's
a good question.
She's that player management, no?
I think she's publicity. So
She's PR, but she's very involved.
Yeah.
Very. She's almost like running the PGA Tour.
Yeah. Think about the incredible publicity bomb that would happen. Incredible bomb, like positive bomb with Happy Gilmore arrived on the golf scene. Yeah. Every once in a while, I'll like, golf will be on television. I'll tune in hoping that I'm going to see like the Happy Gilmore, and it doesn't really happen.
That was the
last year for that haircut, which had about a 5-year run.
Oh yeah,
if you can pull off a mom haircut when you're 25 years old, all power to you. She
90210. Multiple characters on that show had that haircut, including Brandon's girlfriend, who turned out to be a racist. That she said a couple. Andrea Zuckerman, she was like, oh, she's got to have a lot of money. She's Jewish. And Brandon's like, whoa, what's that? And I was like, I got to break up with you. That's totally uncalled for. Homeless caddy, we mentioned. You should play in the Waterbury Open tomorrow. And then my vote for what stage the best, Shooter McGavin.
Oh, my God.
I think this might be the number one sports movie villain.
The way he
brings
the way
everything
he
to the table and nothing off it.
When he proves himself after that beach ball comes onto the green, and he tries to hit it, and it kind of breaks.
That's because he bet. I was telling you, he bet the crew to make that putt.
Oh, that's true.
And he's like, I'm going to do it. I'm actually going to hit it.
But when he hits it, I actually see a bullet come out of his finger.
It's when he shoots it. So aggressive with the shake.
Shooter!
Suck on that, baby!
There's so much good about what he's doing, but one of my favorite things is when he's giving the interview, and he's like, you know, I hate leaving Portland. He does that phony athlete thing. So gross.
It's so gross.
What was it I love that moment we just noticed?
It's so gross, that these little things. But when he's getting introduced on the stage, Shooter has his back turned.
Oh, yeah.
Just kind of like waiting for his moment to turn around.
Right.
It's so like you really get in his head. It's a really layered character.
They nailed the douchebag. They nailed him so well.
The sweater's perfectly tied. You know,
yeah.
It did make me wonder if there was a real life Shooter McGavin on the PGA Tour, how fun that would be. And I feel like Brooks Koepka is like 20% there.
No.
I was going to bring him up. He's somewhere in this
Brooks
world.
Is like, it wouldn't be that much for him to just be like,
I don't even,
I'm just going to be a dick.
No, well, he's more like a Nick Faldo, like old school, like you're demeaning the game guy. Brooks Koepka is like, fuck everybody.
What I mean. Like, yes. But he's still
a
villain.
I'm a mega athlete and I'm crushing the. He's closer to Happy Gilmore in a way.
Yes, that's I was going to bring him because I don't even follow golf, but somehow he's made it into my view.
Yeah.
And it's like, because he's He's just, at one point, there was like a press conference that he gave where he like let off and it was like, yeah. Oh, he's the real bro.
He's like golf's first bro.
Yeah.
You know, the broiness is not a thing in golf. But Shooter maybe is old school. Yeah. Like there is an elegance like and also I'm a piece of garbage to this.
But maybe he's a cross between Happy and Shooter.
Yeah. He might be. The perfect fusion.
I like when Shooter McGavin.
It's so good. Because Shooter would say stuff like what Brooks Koepka says where there's like, you and Rory, the rivalry is like, well, it's not really a rivalry. He's never beaten me.
Yes.
Shooter would definitely say that.
Say what place to get in? Dead last?
Oh yeah. So they're asking him all the questions about Happy Gilmore. He's like, I'm sorry, what was that?
Chomping on that cigar.
Any other what's aged the best for you guys other than stuff we've already mentioned?
My fingers hurt.
Oh.
The Ben Stiller characters on
Glasses Shut the Hell Up. It. That's a big one.
Mister, get me out of here.
In no time.
Mister! Get me out of here!
Here, just eat that! Leave us alone!
I mean, that's just unbelievable.
The guy just killed the Mr. Lady.
He dumps potato chips.
Oh, yeah, on the back.
Off of the car. Like he's at some type of safari. I mean, that's in the movie. And then, an air conditioner falls on her and she survives.
I also love when he's the happy place is reborn. And he's playing piano, and he lifts the hands up, and the piano's still going.
Right. You know, so. Chubbs dies. He falls out of a window.
Yes. Oh, also, we were just thinking, the alligator fight is amazing.
That's a good one, too.
You believe that thing killed, like, bit his hand off, you know?
Now it would be people on Twitter wondering if a real alligator was harmed.
Yeah, I'm
2019
watching
sucks.
Watching the wrestling of the alligator, you're just like, what?
He's hurting the animal.
I have Shooter McGavin as a sports movie villain for What's Age the Best. I think it's really hard to pull off the perfect sports movie villain where nobody's in.
Mm-hmm.
Even Ted Knight and Caddyshack, I'm like, I kind of like the judge. I know he's a villain, but I'm kind of rooting for him.
Yeah.
Was this good for Christopher McDonald's career or bad?
I wonder about it because I read that he almost didn't want to do the movie because he was so typecast as a bad guy.
Yeah.
When is Dirty Work in comparison to this? It's after. Yeah, because he plays kind of a similar guy, you know.
He does.
But
he was in like Grease too. He was trying to be like a heartthrob leading man, and like I just can't unsee Shooter McGavin. Fortunately and unfortunately,
what he should have done is like my wife loves the show The Resident, and they have a bad guy in The Resident who kind of looks like Christopher McDonald. I think it's who's the guy. He's one of those guys who looks like Christopher McDonald.
I feel like
he's one of those actors, but he just should have been on on a TV show for 9 years where he was kind of the villain.
But I feel like, look, it's such an iconic character. I was in
Bruce Greenwood?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You watch.
That guy's on, he might have market corrected Christopher McDonald a little bit.
He might have. Bruce Greenwood, great actor.
Yeah. Yeah. He's good.
I don't know. I think he's got to be, it's one of the most like quotable people, and you just see him, and it's just.
I have a question for
aging. I think
it's
a win for him.
Yeah. Me too.
Do you think that the subway thing was a tie-in? Do you think that they got paid? So that's probably the best aged thing because
the commercial is legit good.
Yes.
The commercial is incredible. Really commercial. Seeing the t-shirt is incredible. It's so awesome to think that Subway would use a golfer to promote their brand. Also, like, what was Subway in 1996? Was Subway popping like it is? I mean,
it probably incepted us as teenagers.
Yes.
Now we all need to eat Subway.
Yeah.
Because that's what I call a hole in one.
Sub.
Yeah, exactly.
This was Ebert's big criticism, other than not liking the movie and not liking Sandler. He said the film's product placement. This is what he listed. I counted, this is Ebert talking. I counted Diet Pepsi, Pepsi, Pepsi Max, Subway, Budweiser, Michelob, Visa cards, Bell Atlantic, AT&T,
I love it.
Sizzler, Red Lobster,
I
Wilson, Golf Digest, ESPN, and Top Flight Golf Balls.
But these all. But the way that Shooter asks for that Pepsi is so on point with like Pepsi. You know, there's something so.
First of all, how did he? Was he like taking notes while he's watching?
He clearly loved this movie.
Yeah. How do you recognize some of those
catch
things?
Some of those, like the bank ones, are crazy.
Yeah. Even when he's wrong, he's a great critic. That's my take.
I think it's a totally unfair criticism. And let's take a break. Hey, let's take a quick break. As CEO of The Ringer, I use my morning commute to catch up on the most recent episodes of our shows, like The Dave Chang Show, The Big Picture, The Watch, and a million other good pop culture ones. It's my way of using the drive as an opportunity to stay on top of everything going on at The Ringer, in the pop culture universe, and the sports universe, and get prepared for the day. No matter what your morning commute looks like, you can use it as an opportunity to earn rewards with 3x points on travel, including transit, like taxis, rideshares, subway swipes, and even ferry rides. For those of you who get to enjoy a nice breeze on your way to work, Learn more at americanexpress.com/green. From Amex, terms apply. What's age the worst? I don't have a lot because I think this movie is aged wonderfully. Did Chubbs really have to die? Couldn't he have just like broken his back or something and been in a wheelchair for the finals?
He has to win it for Chubbs.
Couldn't he have been in a wheelchair?
Got to put some stakes on this one, you know? Can't just be that house.
Well, remember, Shooter dedicates it to Chubbs.
That was,
that's
right.
And that's what pisses Happy off the most. Right, and you kind of need that.
Yes. Very evil. Very evil.
What age is the worst of this movie?
I have one that I'm it hurts my feelings to talk about, but Richard Kiel, who apparently he had had a severe automobile accident in 1992, and he lost his balance because he had had head trauma.
Oh,
so
no.
If you see him in every scene, he's leaning on something or holding something. And then in the scene where they're chasing Shooter at the end.
Yeah, he's running.
He's running, but if you look at it, he's just kind of moving like this, and they're slow motioning it to me, but he's not running.
Oh.
I would have cast somebody differently, and I'll get to who I would have cast later.
Whoa.
I think he was too physically compromised.
I can't imagine the movie with anyone else.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
Well, because I imagine him really having the job as the construction. You know, that's part of – I was totally in it. Like, he was the boss.
I'm going to make the case later that we could have done better.
Okay.
What else do you have for What's Age the Worst? Anything, Sean?
It's funny. It's, like, very easy to go back to 90s comedies and be like, this is problematic, that's problematic. This movie is not really like that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't – it really just, like, holds up in a way that is inoffensive and – just still hilarious. I found myself like authentically as happy watching it as I was 23 years ago.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right. We'll go to the next category. Casting what ifs.
Well,
this is a big one.
Yeah.
Approach for Shooter McGavin. Turned it down.
Kevin Costner, right? I knew that one.
He was doing Tin Cup. Didn't want to do two golf movies.
Oh.
Kevin Costner would have been good.
It would have been interesting.
So I was thinking about this.
It would have had the ability. Maybe you kind of like the guy a little bit too
likable.
Much.
Yeah. It's too likable. Yeah.
Counter. This would have been a fun career move for him at the time to just be in a Sandler comedy. Yeah. This was like in his Waterworld Postman. He's either doing Ron Shelton movies or like fucking crazy apocalyptic movies. And you could have sprinkling in a Happy Gilmore would have helped.
It would have been interesting, but Costner just has he ever been a shitheel in his whole career?
I would have liked to have seen it.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it would have been cool. It would have been cool if he could have pulled it off, but maybe he doesn't. You wouldn't have been able to disassociate it enough, you know?
I have a hard time imagining anyone but Christopher McDonald, but Costner.
This is like Field of Dreams time.
Yes. It would have done is it probably would have made someone like Ebert respond to the movie more because it would have grounded, it would have taken you out of the absurdism a little bit and maybe made it too likable, but that might have added a complication that would have made it more like, I don't know, art film friendly or something. But I don't think the movie works with him.
I would never trade.
I don't think it works either. I wouldn't either. It's a fun alternate universe.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about.
I think it makes the movie worse ultimately, and I think he probably overpowers it. But I think for him, it probably would have been a good role. The other person who lobbied really hard for it was Bruce Campbell. And he would have been when you said Chris McDonald didn't want to do the movie.
Yeah.
Turned it down twice and then ended up doing it. I think it would have been Bruce Campbell. Yeah. Ben Stiller, uncredited.
That's insane. I didn't know that he was uncredited.
Really?
Not credited.
Great. This is.
But it's reoccurring too in that.
I mean,
movie.
He's in like five scenes. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
There's one on, I've only seen it once on
the
television.
The deleted scene.
The deleted one where he throws him, he actually goes back and gets revenge.
Oh, yeah.
On Stiller. And I can't see it anywhere, but I guess now it's probably.
I don't know why they cut that out.
Yeah.
Because I actually would have wanted to see that.
There's no conclusion on that.
Cappy goes and throws him through the glass door.
I was like, he did it at the beginning. Yeah. Well, he does that with Smigel's character.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
You know who might have been an interesting shooter? Peter Gallagher would have been an interesting shooter.
Oh.
You know, so I was trying to remember his name just now. Like, those eyebrows would have been fascinating as shooter.
That's a good one. I could see him as a golfer. I really like Ben Stiller. I have no idea why he's in this movie. He's completely overqualified for the part.
Friends with Sandler. I think he's incredible.
He's amazing.
He's really good. He's almost like, but it's like,
I think they resurrected that character for the new Sandler movie.
Well, I guess I don't know. He's in there to create some sort of weird alternate reality for the grandmother to get out of. And he's so vicious.
He's unbelievable.
He's so vicious that you really think, oh, she, again, there's all these things that I think, I believe happening in the movie. And it's like, I don't want the grandmother to be with that guy. He's like, he's a horrible person.
And the idea of a, like a nursing home that is a sweatshop.
Yes, incredible.
Genius.
Unbelievable.
It's
one of the great
movie.
They make quilts.
Yes. And he's getting off the phone with his like,
oh yeah,
guys.
No.
Like,
he has lots of orders. He has a back order.
Good news. We're increasing it by 4 hours today.
Arts and crafts.
Yes,
it's suspicious. Also, this is like right after.
You will go to sleep or I will put you to sleep. You're in my world now, grandma.
He's the throat-cutting gesture.
Yes, did you guys see Heavyweights the year before this?
Yes, of
and
course.
He's in like a weird villain zone where he's like, the only parts I will take is as a villain, I guess. Maybe that's why he did this.
Well, he brings this character back for what movie?
This same character?
This character reappears in a different movie in a different way, but it's the same character.
Dodgeball? Yeah, Dodgeball.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Dodgeball is this guy now is a Dodgeball star.
That's amazing.
Same facial hair, same vibe. It's when I saw it, I was like, oh.
He's bitter
that he wasted this character.
Yeah.
He wasted
I made a joke when I met Stiller that when he was doing the Dannemora thing, I was like, oh, are you going to play one of the correctional officers?
He's well qualified.
Yeah.
Dion Waiters Award. This is for the biggest heat check in the movie.
Okay.
So somebody who is only for an NBA game plays 12 minutes but makes 4 threes.
Yeah.
Our nominees, Ben Stiller.
Could I trouble you for a glass of warm milk? It helps put me to sleep.
You could trouble me for a warm glass of shut the hell up. Now you will go to sleep, or I will put you to sleep. Check out the name tag. You're in my world now, Grandma.
Bob Barker.
Mm.
Now you've had enough, bitch.
Vern's partner, Jack, who has no lines.
Never, we used to joke about that as kids.
He never speaks.
I think it's a SAG thing.
Because he doesn't actually say a line because we're like, I guess he doesn't have a good agent. We don't say
the line
this.
He does, he goes,
which isn't a word.
Yeah.
It's
not a word.
It's Sandler's best friend. I have it here somewhere. Oh. It's his New York University roommate, Jack Giarrapudo. Giarrapudo.
Oh, wait. I think
sits next to Lundquist in every shot. It's honestly like me putting Jacko in a movie.
It's incredible.
Just being like, Jacko, you're not going to have a line. Just wear a suit and not
Vern
Lundquist.
He doesn't talk.
He never says a word.
It's something we always picked up on. I don't know why. It was weird.
It's actually funnier watching again, knowing he's not going to speak in the different ways. He just kind of nods at Vern Lundquist, not being allowed to speak. I think Bob Barker, this is an all-time Dion Waiters performance, and that's my vote.
We're done with nominations?
I wanted to go with the ones who could actually win.
I mean,
the Jackass is one.
Joe Flaherty.
Joe Flaherty.
Lee Trevino.
Neelan.
All right. The up, down, and around is so good.
I'll add them, but
Alan Covert.
We know where this is going
to
end.
Yeah. I know. We gave rewatchable to Barker, though. Like, Neelan to me is doing the bull dance.
Oh, it's so good.
Did we give rewatchable?
Well, yes. Up, down, and around.
I would give it to Neelan
in
this category, but didn't we kind of change the rewatchable to the opening sequence?
We did.
You can win double categories.
Okay. All right.
Here's my case for Barker. He's in the game for 5 minutes.
And he's so memorable.
He hits 7 threes.
Yeah.
He scores 21 points in 5 minutes.
That's true. Neelan probably comes in with like 5 steals.
But Neelan closes the game.
5 steals and like and maybe not drop any points, but incites the comeback.
Neelan's like Frank Nedelenka.
He's like Ronaldo.
A lot of great defense.
Yeah. He's like the chemist. Bachman,
he's
you know?
The coach. He's the Tony coach Allen. Who comes up with the play to win the game, up, down, and around.
All right, I'm voting for Bob. So you guys are going for Neelan?
I'm going Neelan.
I kind of want to go Neelan.
Okay. Shocker. Upset.
I think Vern is a candidate too. Vern puts in a hell of a performance as a credible golf announcer.
He grounds the movie for sure.
Truly. Yeah.
Well, we have Vern in this next category.
Okay.
Apex Mountain.
Okay. I think it's a little hard to do not, yes, sir, with Nicholas. That's got to be.
Did some research last night. Vern Lundquist said this is what everybody mentions to him.
Really?
This is
the thing.
Vern Lundquist, this is from, he said in 2016, he gave an interview and he was retiring. He said he still gets a monthly $34 check from SAG for his appearance. He said, this is him talking. The other part of doing that movie was the effect it had on my career. The young college kids are really wrapped up in this thing. I'm 76, and it's given me an avenue of conversation with college kids. The line he hears the most, who the hell is Happy Gilmore? Just people coming up to him all day and saying, who the hell is Happy Gilmore? So I think this was his apex mountain.
There's just,
nobody's going up to him and going, yes, sir. They're going, who the hell is Happy Gilmore?
June 86, Jack Nicklaus. Yes, sir. That's Vern's apex.
I don't know. It might be Happy Gilmore.
Mm-hmm. I love Happy Gilmore. I love Vern.
I do love the yes, sir call.
How many people were fucking watching that, like 20 million people?
It's also the best possible call of my favorite golf moment of all time.
Father's Day, 1986. How many people are watching television at that time?
Chris McDonald?
Oof.
I'm going to say Apex Mountain. You know what Apex Mountain is.
Yeah. Okay. I would say...
I think it is.
Unless you want to get dirty work.
Yeah. He's also in Requiem, which is actually...
I think he's incredible in Requiem.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like really...
He's playing another version. But he's playing a version of Shooter.
He's just so scary in that movie. But no, this is probably it, though. This is it. I wouldn't say Requiem if it wasn't for Happy Gilmore, so therefore...
It must be so weird to be an actor and for you to have to realize that what people love about you is that there's something deranged about you, you know? Like, his best performance is there's something wild in his eyes, something unbalanced.
Well, unfortunately... The answer is this was his apex mountain because there's a kind of a sad story in 2017. He got a DUI and he got stopped.
Oh.
He was trying to talk out of it. And there was a witness who said he was trying to get out of the DUI by saying, have you seen Happy Gilmore?
Oh, God.
So that was his go-to to get out of the DUI.
Official confirmation.
Yeah, that's a confirmation.
When you identify yourself or as Shooter McGavin.
Friday, this is Shooter's turn.
Old school Bruins jerseys.
Yes.
Apex mountain. The throwback... With the big one with the one B.
You know what's weird is we almost put Garnett in a throwback jersey. Oh. That was like part of our costuming with him. I have pictures of him.
It would look good too.
It did. It looked great in him. He was like
it would have been a little wink.
It's a long jersey.
Yeah, exactly. It was an extra long.
What else do you have for Apex Mountain? Anything?
Is it Dugan's Apex Mountain?
Oh wow! It's better than Billy Madison.
Is it?
Yeah,
I'm not so sure.
I talk with – so in the Sandler camp, obviously Billy Madison is very important because it started everything. Mm-hmm.
And they call it Happy Madison Productions,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So it's like the – I don't know. It's tough. I mean, he's – Dugan's great in – he's also a great actor in this. He's incredible in it. You know?
So we'll do Dugan very quickly. Happy, Beverly Hills Ninja, Big Daddy, Saving Silverman.
Big Daddy's such a special movie.
National Security.
I would have said Big Daddy because it made a lot of money.
Yeah.
The Benchwarmers, I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, Zohan,
ooh,
Grown Jesus. Ups, Jesus. Just Go With It, Jack and Jill,
okay,
Grown Ups 2. That's his
Big Daddy. It's Big Daddy for me.
I think it's Big Daddy. Big Daddy made like $200 million.
And Big Daddy was the movie that really...
It's like you see...
That was like Sandler's 70s film. You know what I mean? That was like... that was a character-driven, beautiful, complicated character. Yeah. And the movie's just... It's the movie that you know, made us want to cast him as Howard in a way.
Yeah. I just got to get something out on the table because I'm feeling this over and over again. Do you guys like Zohan?
Oh, I love Zohan.
Yes. Funny.
Yes.
You don't love Zohan?
Wow.
Really? Oh, my God. I love Zohan.
What am I missing with Zohan?
Well, the Safdies are Jewish, and I grew up on Long Island. So I
Is that movie
something.
Considered to be not successful?
In what regards?
Or is there like a cult aspect to
it? Okay, let's put it this way. My friend's son was getting bar mitzvahed. That makes him 13.
I don't know what a bar mitzvah is.
I don't know if some people on the Ringer aren't listening, don't know what a bar mitzvah is. There's only 14 million Jews in the world. his son, all he couldn't believe that I made a movie with Adam Sandler. And all his he wanted to talk was, to me about was like, I am Steve. You're Steve? No, it's like, no, I'm stiff. First of all, the fact that the movie like centers around Paul Mitchell is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole opening in as him as a terrorist fighter is amazing. John Turturro as a terrorist. The movies and like some of that stuff in New York is just unbelievable. It's so funny. And also Sandler's jacked in it.
You'd always talk about that. He's like,
Sandler always lets you know I was jacked when we did Zohan. Wow. He is. He's shirtless a lot in it. He's well hung. You know what I mean?
He's pretty jacked when you see him in Happy Gilmore because he's got that sweater on. He's like, he's pretty big.
Yeah, but Zohan, no, he's Zohan like is next level. A superhero. Yeah, that's a superhero movie.
Yeah.
It's a comedy written by Adam Sandler, Apatow, and Smigel.
Smigel's a genius, yeah.
I'll give it another chance. Smigel's pretty good in as the
and Gilmore, IRS Gilmore agent.
Yeah, that's one to put out there.
You hate me now, don't you?
The Joey Pants Award for best that guy. I personally think it's Richard Kiel because it's like, oh, Jaws from Moonraker, and I'm not
you're the
sure.
Only person I know who knows his name.
Well, because he was in The Longest Yard, which is one of my favorite movies.
Longest Yard's amazing.
Yeah. It's the first great sports movie.
Which Sandler remade.
Yeah. Which I'm still bitter about.
It's not bad. That's not bad.
I don't feel like you can remake The Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
Like if they remade The Godfather, you know we're not
doing the remake of 48, right?
Oh, is that
you
official?
You were gonna redo it in
it
a
was
way
gonna be
that
totally
wasn't...
different. Now the problem was that we sat down to write it, and we just don't know how to remake something. So we just ended up writing something that was totally original, and it's just not 48 out. I met Walter Hill recently, and I told him, I was like, let's just get this out in the open, like not remaking your movie. But yeah, you're right, it wasn't. But The Longest Yard was more of like a pretty straight.
Made a lot of money.
Yeah,
I don't know if you can remake Jack Cates. And also, Jack Cates has not aged well, but I still love him, and I don't care.
Can you remake Happy Gilmore?
Whoa.
No.
See, that's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing.
There's no reason to. More Joey Who Pants candidates. He? Joe Flaherty, we mentioned.
Yeah, for sure.
Joe Flaherty's kind of sad that Joe Flaherty is that guy and not like a Nate. I mean, he was on one of the all-time great comedy shows.
I think there's a big SCTV doc coming soon, I think, which hopefully will – yeah, I mean, Rick Moranis will be the one who gets
it. It's weird because it's like there are parts like this where – you notice, like, oh, it's that guy. Mm-hmm. And then that introduces them and their whole kind of what everybody else, like, if you're a fan, like, oh, that's, you know exactly who he is. But that guy is maybe like a mountaintop for the general public.
Yes.
Like, Flaherty, like, oh, of course, we know him from television, and he's like, it's just amazing comedy. But most people notice him just from this and maybe search him out for other things. So maybe that's kind of a good.
SCTV needs like a Netflix run or something. It needs to get back into the consciousness. Yeah,
I wonder what's up with that and why it's.
He probably wins Joey Pants then.
Think so?
Flaherty? Yeah, I think he does. Next category
was uncredited.
The Linda Partridge, They Knew Award for overacting.
I think it's the Don't Call Me Lady.
Don't Call Me Lady. Linda Partridge was in Magnolia. It's Julianne Moore's performance.
Okay.
Mista, maybe?
Oh.
For overdoing it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's not a that. Is she a that guy?
Kind of.
It's more of a heat check.
Yeah, maybe it's a heat check.
I couldn't find a lot of overacting in this movie. Carl Weathers kind of goes for it a couple times.
I love Carl. I like what he's doing.
I don't even want to give it to him, though.
Yeah. I think he's actually putting in an authentically good performance in a weird, absurd movie. But he's like, he bought in.
Yeah, he's totally like, he's Chubbs.
Yeah, he's Chubbs. He
I don't feel like anyone really overacts in this movie, unless you're going to say Sandler, but he's,
and
that's
I,
his
maybe
character.
You could, like, I love the head of the golf tour maybe sometimes, but then you kind of read it in and it's like, oh, maybe he's like the real guy who's
Stiller, like it's the proper overacting. It's not like, so I'm gonna go zero for that.
Francis Bay, maybe the grandma.
We're gonna get to her in a second. I have some thoughts. Half-assed internet research, we've done a lot of it. Chubb's missing hand was an inside joke between Sandler and Hurley about Predator.
Because the guy bit his hand off.
It was also the way that he taps him with that wood hand.
Don't worry, it's solid wood. It's not going to break at all. And then the truck runs over it.
Mark Lai was the consultant on the script. The initial draft, he said, featured Happy winning the Masters. They had the green jacket. This is his quote. They were desecrated in the USGA, making fun of Augusta. He suggested Happy win a fictional tournament, and Hurley and Sandler changed the jacket's color from green to gold. He said there were 5 drafts. He's very like, I was the hero. Uh-huh. I made it's of like, course. Fuck
always
off, Mark Lai.
One of these people.
Seriously,
always,
go choke on a 9-iron. Yeah. Lee Trevino.
It's very aggressive take on Mark Lai.
It's like, settle down, Mark Lai. It's like, oh, thank God for me, or else exactly. Happy Gilmore would make it. It's like, fuck off.
No one having that take. No one's having that.
Another one who could fuck off, Lee Trevino.
Oh, no.
He regrets his appearance in the film.
No, really?
He said if he had known how much swearing there would have been in the film, he wouldn't have done it.
Oh, okay. It's one of those.
Settle down, Lee.
Yeah.
That's not what you want.
Yeah.
Terrible. Bad take. We had the deleted scene where he throws Ben Stiller through the window. Okay, that's it. Recasting couch. This is where you can recast any part in the movie. I actually have two for this. As I said earlier, I wasn't a huge fan of Richard Kiel because I feel like that was a physical part and he couldn't be physical. Kevin McHale.
Whoa.
Ooh.
That'd be interesting.
End of his Cheers run.
Wow.
We've seen him act a little.
Would have been interesting.
Big, tall, scary guy. Yeah. He could have the screw coming out of his helmet. Yeah. It's pretty good, right?
He seems like more like a boss from a construction site.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Andre I love the Giant, if he was around.
Right.
Yeah. Andre the Giant would have been.
I love Richard Kiel in this. Okay. I mean, it's very, very memorable to me. It's one of the, I mean, it's one of the things I quote the most, you can count. And the way he delivers that, you know, there's real time into it. You can,
right.
Yeah. Oh, that's two. You can, that's one more for par. Yeah, you can count. Yeah, you can count on
the other one I had was Betty White as grandma.
Betty White would have been interesting.
I feel like they needed a actress I actually knew in that part instead of just anonymous grandma.
I was going to say Jessica Tandy, but she had died by this point, unfortunately.
Or sadly. Bring her back.
Yeah.
You prop her up.
You
want to
revive Irishman.
Irishman CGI. Any other parts you would recast?
To me, I wouldn't I think the movie's perfect the way it is. I wouldn't recast anything. I can't think of one character
that
bothers me. Grandma's like, but grandma's grandma. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. She's just kind of like, and she actually wins her performance in the nasty happy place scene.
Oh, she does. She
all
goes
of a
all
you're
in.
Like, what? You make have another personality?
Yeah.
I forgot to mention in the happy place scene, Julie Bowen said they cut out a part where she makes out with the dwarf.
Oh,
I don't,
man,
I don't
really?
Know if it was in the not happy place or the happy place, but she said,
I love that happy
she starts making out with that dwarf.
Yeah. Yeah.
Picking nits. We're going to pick some nits. I mean, you can pick nits with everything in this, but the major ones for me, you can't drive your car on a golf course.
That's crossed my mind.
That's not really realistic.
Yeah.
There's not car. I went to Augusta 2 years ago.
You could
it
never get a car.
It's
on
a 5 mile walk from where you park your car just to the course. There's no cars anywhere.
And also, how is he so juiced in, that guy, that he can get onto the celebrity? I mean, I guess he's Shooter's boy. Maybe that car was
a tough one.
Maybe the car was under Shooter's name, and that's how he got it so close to the course.
In the PGA, now granted, they called this the Professional Golf League or whatever, and they didn't say it was the PGA.
Pro Golfers Tour.
Pro Golfers Tour. In the real PGA, the fans are not allowed to talk on the course.
Is that true?
To the golfers, yeah.
At all.
You're kicked out if you say one.
Really?
Thing. Yeah.
But even if there was a happy.
Even when Tiger is around, people are going crazy?
Not allowed to talk.
Oh.
Happy gets run over by a Volkswagen the final hole or the final round.
And his shoulder's
messed up. And his shoulder's messed up for a couple, but then it's fine.
Yeah. I like how he gets hit by a car but can still drive it like 280.
Yeah, and it's
He's like still kind of crushing it, but
they just get rid of it. They get rid of that sound.
That's right.
And it's just he's terrible.
Yeah.
He's terrible without that sound.
What does Christopher McDonald say? He's like a Superman or something. He has a line right after that when he can't drive the ball 400 yards.
Well, well, well. Happy Gilmore is human, after all.
I was trying to think of what would happen if this happened in real life, and it was the last hole of the Masters, and it was like Brooks Koepka, and somebody drove on with a Volkswagen and ran him over, and then he's like, Brooks is going to play. And what that would be like on Twitter.
Oh, my God.
Like, oh, my God, Brooks got hit by a Volkswagen.
Yeah, it would blow the sport up 20 times more. Yeah.
So they should just do it.
Yeah, they should do it. But you're right. I don't think that is one thing. Even as when I was 12 and I was watching, I was like,
that's absurd.
Well, the car is getting on you, but it doesn't matter. You go with it because it's part. And then the great mini golf scene comes back.
Yeah. You're gonna die, clown. You think that's funny? I don't hear you laughing now.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! Enough.
You're going to die, clown.
So another one is the tower falls on the green.
Yeah.
Shooter's already made his putt. And then he's insists that Happy
because
has to
because he had to shoot off Frankenstein's foot.
Right. I'm reasonably sure they might have stopped the tournament for
to clean it up
to move the tower off the green.
It was an explosion. Yes. The CW actually has – there's an explosion. That alone would probably delay the tour.
Maybe a half hour to convene, have a couple PGA people talk about what they should do.
This is not really like a realistic portrayal of
the PGA. There was one moment
we
when –
we are picking nits.
There's one moment I always – where you can kind of see the trajectory of the ball, like – you can kind of see how they guided it into the
hole. Oh, you can see the divot.
You can see
the divot.
And I was like, I wish you couldn't.
But yeah, there was CG where they would have gotten rid of that today.
I have some questions about the Waterbury Open, where just anybody can sign up the day before yeah. and win, and you good, get, that, that's get a PGA card.
That is a good call.
What's going on in Waterbury?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you do this?
No.
Can we fly you to Waterbury?
No, that's
to be in the tour.
I wouldn't play very well, but that's the genius of Tin Cup, is that they like convince you that he has to qualify. It's all about
yeah.
qualifying.
Yes. Yeah.
Happy is like, hello, I am a professional golfer.
But doesn't Chubb say something to him? He said it's the Open, it's the amateur Open or something,
yes,
that the winner
win,
qualifies.
But then it's like
I think it's...
It's basically like you get to play with the big boys because you did well in the amateurs, yes.
Another picky nit for me before I get to my biggest picky nit. I think they missed a real opportunity with Patrick and Olbermann, because this was right around the same time. Where they could have done this mock ESPN thing about the Happy Gilmore sensation, had those guys, because it would have trapped the movie in 1995 where it belongs. Mm-hmm. And it was like the missing piece.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just having those guys do their thing about, like, this guy's hitting it 400 yards, Dan.
Yeah. Yeah. Piggybacking off of the, well, they wouldn't want to be with you, who yeah, yeah, Blowfish yeah. video. Yeah.
They would have had to have had some sort of cultural montage where, like, America is talking about,
like, David Gilmore. Letterman's
yes,
on there.
Yes, yeah,
I actually think it cool. needed the cultural montage. Mm. Yeah,
you thought it needed that?
I think it would have. Feel it like would have grounded it in 1995 in a more meaty way for me.
In a weird way, it's only in this. It's also only really about the golfing world, right? So it's not. He doesn't really care that the larger
some
public
golf
is,
cameos would have some more golf cameos could have been cool.
But in my mind, I thought they were all like real. Like,
but I do think that golf pre-Tiger was this isolated cultural thing.
Yeah, but if you had a guy hitting 400-yard drives.
That's true.
Because then the reason I'm glad this didn't work is because Leno would have been in it. And he was like, hey, I'm at this Happy Gilmore. And it just would have been terrible. So maybe it's a good idea.
Actually, going back, I was thinking maybe if Leno got into the fight, I would be kind of, that's one of those guys.
Mm. Oh,
yeah.
Leno.
Like that one.
At a car show.
Yeah.
This guy sucks.
Getting him in the jaw.
I would like to see that, actually.
Here's my biggest nitpick.
Can't hit that jaw.
No, that jaw, but it's out there.
He'd be a good boxer, I bet.
No, but you can. That's what's, it's all jaw.
What are you going to do to hit that?
It's all jaw. You can't hide it.
It's like punching sheetrock. What are you going to do? Yeah. What are you gonna do?
Yeah. My biggest nitpick. I'm fine with all these other nitpicks. It's an absurd movie. This just bothers me, and as somebody who you know, values sports movies. So in the final round, he gets mad. He's hitting in the rough. He takes like six shots.
I thought
hits in the water.
Yes. He takes an eight.
And an eight? It's like a 12. Like a,
it's double par.
But he hit in the water too. That's a two-stroke penalty. It's at least a 10.
I was watching it as a 12-year-old, not even knowing the rules of golf, I was like, oh, he's done. He's lost completely.
So,
no,
and then they immediately cut to the big leaderboard and they take him from a -2 to a -1.
Yeah.
I'm like, what was this, a par 10?
But think about it. Okay, so rationally, think about it this way. If you've got a guy who drives the ball 400 yards, that means he's eagling
every single par four.
That's fine.
So he was at
-2 to -1 to me, though.
Oh, in that example. Well,
no, they make it seem like, tough bogey for Happy Gilmore.
That was 11 strokes. Yeah. A montage scene.
No, that's not chronological.
He does come back from really far behind, too, in the same way.
He's like one under and then shooters five under, and then all of a sudden he's like, he's six over.
If you guys ever make a sports movie, I demand to be
we
consulted.
We did make a sports movie.
No, I mean, if one where you're actually creating a whole world with games, and I want to be consulted. Let's take a break to talk about DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig, much like a premium espresso machine, but it makes cocktails instead. DrinkWorks Home Bar pods made with premium spirits, real ingredients, and natural flavors. So if you want to make that vodka soda, if you want to make yourself a nice little margarita, they have all of these things, and you don't have to do it yourself. They'll do it. They'll calibrate it perfectly for you. Bar quality cocktails. Freshly made at the push of a button. The only way to get this amazing drink maker at a half price plus free shipping is to go to drinkworks.com. Use our code REWATCHABLES at checkout to save $200 and get free shipping. Don't wait. This amazing offer won't last, and it's only for my listeners. That's drinkworks.com. Use code REWATCHABLES, REWATCHABLES. At checkout, remember, please enjoy responsibly. DrinkWorks Home Bar is currently available in California, New York, Florida, Missouri, Pennsylvania, Illinois, with more states available for pre-sale today at drinkworks.com. Best quote, we've already said a million of them. Could this be remade as a 10-episode Netflix show?
Hmm.
Ah, Happy Gilmore. No, I don't think so. You need the momentum of like the
perfect economic movie.
Yes. Yeah, you need the mythic quality of like sitting down, watching it, saying goodbye to Happy, you know?
So here's where I landed on this. You talked about how you can't remake 48 Hours. You were redoing the script and it ended up just being a completely different script. So why even make it seem like it's 48 Hours? I think you could have Happy Gilmore inspired. I think the whole concept of just some force of nature being unleashed on the PGA Tour that's unlike anything.
Thunderstruck? I mean, there are a bunch of movies where you do have somebody who's out of place and all of a sudden can play well, right?
Well, what I was thinking was
Ladybugs.
Ladybugs.
But no, but maybe this is like a 25-year-old black guy
who's
unlike anyone on the tour and gets thrown in and is acting differently and just doing everything differently than everybody else does. And it's like that. But that's not a Happy Gilmore ripoff. It's something else. But I think that would work as something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing that's interesting,
the fish out of water thing makes sense to me.
It's not divine intervention with he's just happens to be good at something he never played before.
Yeah, the thing is the fish out of water thing, of course. That's I could see that traveling far. But Happy's more than that. Happy's like he's like I said, like when that NHL person asked me, it's like he's a hockey player.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's tough because it's
so what would a basketball player like be like on the PGA Tour? If you take like Happy's a hockey player on the PGA Tour. Yeah. So if you took
they both
like,
have sticks, so it's like maybe you have to
like Russell Westbrook is a PGA Tour golfer.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. It got my brain moving. It's something.
Well, all the ball players play golf too. They all love golf because of Jordan.
Charles Barkley's swing is something.
Well, Curry's apparently amazing.
Really? Oh, that doesn't surprise me at all.
He's the greatest hand. Yeah,
he's like a Happy Gilmore, I bet. He probably drives the ball and is getting hole in ones. I mean, his whole pregame like show is basically Happy Gilmore's drive.
Right. Just rhythm.
It from the locker room.
Yeah.
Draining shots.
Unanswerable questions. I only have two. You guys might have some. Was that the greatest shot Vern Lundquist ever called?
No. We've gone over this. No.
Can I make the case?
Okay.
Jack Nicklaus makes a 20-footer. It's great. It's emotional. Raises the putter. He also called the Iron Bowl kick six.
Mm-hmm. Good one.
He called Christian Leitner's shot over Kentucky.
Wow.
He called Tiger Woods' chip in at the 2005 Masters.
Okay.
I'm still going with Happy Gilmore using the entire tower for hitting it off the subway sign. Goes in, rolls for 20 seconds, comes right out. He wins the tour championship. I think it's the most amazing.
It's pretty good.
But it's a good list.
First of all, it's a great job by you. Thank you. Answerable question. That's just a great question. I think it's Leitner.
Oh.
Wow.
That's pretty iconic.
We had some pretty insane arguments over Christian Leitner rookie cards.
Leitner was an I remember where I was watching it and who I was in the room with when he made that shot, which I don't remember where I watched the 2005 Masters.
What about Happy Gilmore?
You know exactly.
Happy Gilmore. Somerville Theater. another one. What's real life like in 2019 if Happy Gilmore became a thing?
Oh, my God.
Ooh.
If we just have this guy comes into the PGA Tour and he's like punching people and
he probably started as like a Instagram phenomenon.
Oh yeah.
Somebody would capture him at the range.
At like a meme account. Meme account.
So that would be how you remake it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You make it like he's a social media phenomenon who goes on the tour, I guess would be the twist.
Would the tour accept that is a question. Mm.
I think the twist in 2019 is he gets signed to a hockey team.
Oh.
You know what I mean? You could see that, right? Like, that he is this sensation. Well, and then it ends with him actually being
the Chicago
a quirky sign, you know,
Who was the guy in Chicago, the replacement
Boston
goalie?
Boston Bruins.
Who came in. Remember the story?
No.
Oh, it's an incredible story. So they have the guy. There's always a person in the audience in case both goalies go out. They call in the replacement goalie from the audience. And this guy was on Chicago. He was called in. And he shut the other team down. They literally pulled their goalie and they were going all after this guy because he hadn't played hockey professionally at all, ever. And he literally, I was like, we have to look up this guy, but I forget his name. And I guess it was drawing comparisons to like Happy Gilmore and stuff in the moment because literally this guy came into a game and shut out a professional hockey team. And that was the only time he ever played professional hockey.
Wow, that's a movie.
What about flipping the whole thing? You do a golfer who can't make it as a golfer. becomes a hockey, a hockey player.
He's got the hand eye?
Yes, he's got the hand eye.
I gotta say, the slap shot and the golf swing, they have nothing to do with each other.
No, nothing at all.
They just, they're not related.
No sense at all.
It's a just, little bit
of a stretch. I will say, hockey players and golfers seem to, like, hockey players become good golfers for some reason.
Is that true?
Yeah, I knew a lot of people.
Really? Yeah, why is it the basketball?
Scott Foster, 36-year-old accountant who lives in Oak Park, Illinois. More than a decade ago, he was a goalie on like a Michigan State team. Came in, shut out the other team, and he was the emergency backup.
Wow.
So
Before we get to who on the movie, can I give you my Happy Gilmore sequel?
Oh, yeah, let's hear it. Sequel.
This is pretty good. You'll like this. This is instead of remaking
it. Grandma's alive?
No, grandma's dead.
Okay.
Grandma's gone. Happy and Julie Bowen are married, Virginia.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right.
Start there. That's great, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I'm in.
He's been on the tour for 24 years. So he's won like a lot of stuff.
This is nice.
He's wealthy now. He's calmed down.
Uh-huh.
He's kind of not the happy we remember. It's like, what happened to this guy? Yeah. Kind of sold out a little bit. He's made $300 million. He's got endorsements. He's a little embarrassed about mid-90s happy. Uh-huh. Doesn't want to talk about that part of his past as much. Now he's this corporate guy. But he's got a 21-year-old son who's playing hockey in college.
Mm. And he's like a...
is all of the bad parts of happy, who gets kicked out after starting like the biggest bench clearing brawl in Division I, whatever, gets kicked out of school. And then now I'll add this part that we just had where he's just at a golf range hitting 400 yarders, becomes a social media phenomenon. And now Happy Gilmore has to come to grips with Happy Junior. Sean's like, don't put this on the podcast. Let's just make this.
Yes. Yeah. <you're> like, So is the movie called
Happy Junior?
Happier Gilmore or Happy Gilmore Junior?
Happiest Gilmore. Yeah, happiest. Happy Gilmore Junior. All right. If you heard that movie was being made, would you be in?
Starring Adam Sandler?
Adam's in it.
Okay.
Adam and Julie Bowen are in it.
I kind of would be.
I mean, I'll definitely see it, of
and
course.
It's Chalamet is happier.
Chalamet.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do it.
Or maybe it's a
Chalamet
daughter.
Chalamet can ball, by the way.
What if it's a
He's
daughter?
A good basketball player.
Sure. It's Saoirse Ronan. Yeah.
It's OPGA. She takes the OPGA.
That's good.
That's there you go. That's the spin.
Still spit on it. All right, who won the movie?
Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Sandler.
Francis Bay.
Come on, Adam Sandler.
This is the one that sets him up. Because I think the next two are is it Wedding Singer, Big Daddy? What's the order there?
This turns him into a nine-figure movie star.
So, like, those movies are much bigger box office-wise, but this is the one that I think got people used to the idea of being obsessed with Adam Sandler. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the one where it was like, I just need this guy
in my
life.
And in a weird way, it's also the movie that is Adam Sandler. Even, like, the guy who doesn't give a fuck. You know what I mean? The guy who just shows up and is just going to drive it 400 yards.
And it has the kind of craziness of Billy Madison, but also a little bit of the naturalism that you're going to kind of see later.
A little heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it has the story arc of that's more akin to, you know, like a Caddyshack in a weird way.
For sure.
Did you like how I tried to create some drama with who won the movie?
Yes.
Did Dugan win?
No, Sandler won.
Yeah. Carl Weathers? No, it's not an option. Carl Weathers, supposedly he thinks that this was the biggest, you know, a huge game changer for him, that it, you know, showed another side of his acting.
Over Apollo Creed?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I mean, because everyone knows he can do Apollo Creed.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean?
Weathers with a secretly crazy rewatchables career where he has the first four Rockies, Predator, and Happy Gilmore.
He's currently on The Mandalorian right
all
now.
The time.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
He's still alive?
He's still alive.
Did he steal that part from John Amos?
Yes. He looks younger on The Mandalorian than he does in Happy Gilmore, which is weird.
Well, he's playing Carl Chubbs is older.
That's true.
So they aged him up.
Did they dye the beard? I
think so.
He looks pretty old.
They aged him up, yeah. Because he was, you know. He was probably also pretty jacked underneath that sweater.
Definitely.
He is jacked in Predator.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Uncut Gems. When's it come out?
Yeah, it comes out New York and L.A. on December 13th and then everywhere on Christmas. It's a Christmas movie. It really is.
I knew you guys had a great homage to the Celtics in you. And I'm really proud of both of you.
I had no idea.
I'm really proud of both of you.
Well, it's like if you – You kind of have to just like, if you love basketball, you love basketball. But sometimes you.
When do you guys remake Celtic Pride about somebody make it the Knicks?
Somebody kidnaps the Knicks. Celtic Pride and The Fan are both. The Fan would be incredible.
The Fan is the weirdest movie of the mid-90s.
It's a good rewatchable right there.
You're pro The Fan?
Yeah,
I love The Fan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone that movie is so batshit insane.
It's crazy.
It's a pouring monsoon of a rainstorm, yes, and then, Robert De Niro is the umpire.
It's very Cape Fear, too. It's De Niro still doing Cape Fear.
That a little misery in there. A little misery in there.
What came first, the Naked Gun or the Fan? Because I feel like the Fan just ripped off
Naked Gun did.
The umpire shtick. You know, that's not, that's not recognized.
De Niro just is the home plate umpire. Yeah. Nobody notices.
Nobody notices.
The other umpires don't notice. The players.
I mean, I believe that. I believe that you can
that off.
Yeah. You got the gear on. And
the other funny thing about that movie is Benicio Del Toro is like really going for it.
Yeah. He's really going for
He's
it.
He's like, this is my break. I'm in a movie with De Niro and Snipes.
Yeah. But I buy it. He's like, he's really good.
Big time.
That thing that leaked, I love it. The MLB umpire leaked, they were mic'd up.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing. That's a movie in there somewhere.
Celtic Pride, though, Damon Wayans.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that was a sanctioned Celtics movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do Knicks non-pride.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't.
Some Knick gets kidnapped so they can get a better lottery pick.
I think because Knicks fans are desperate.
Yeah, somebody needs to kidnap Marcus Morris immediately so we can win 9 games this year.
Stop shooting.
Didn't we do that last year with Kristaps?
Yeah, you basically did.
The Mavs kidnapped him?
Yeah, you basically did.
No.
They didn't give him back.
Did you read the profile on Kristaps?
No.
About that Mark Berman of the Post, as Frank Gazzola would say.
Yes.
They just, they did a whole kind of expose that feels like it has the Knicks organization.
Oh, yeah. Trying to bury KP.
Yes. And that's why it went to print a day before his return to the Garden game. And it was, they paint this guy, he was painted like Drago. He was such a villain.
Yeah.
Talking about like parking his car. They didn't have to say this. Pulling up to the practice facility and blocking the entrance.
Oh, yeah. First time an NBA player has done something weird.
I was at the Bucks game where the guys from A24 took me as like, when we were doing gems, as like a let's go. They took me to a Knicks game, a Knicks-Bucks game. And I was at the game. Decent seats where KP tore his ACL, and I had a great view of it. It was
playing out of his mind.
It was an incredible dunk on
Insane.
The Greek Freak. Yeah. It was an incredible, and I watched the ACL snap. I saw it. I had like weird vision of it, and I mean, it's like, oh, that's an ACL tear. He's fucked. And KP's family was right in front of me, and I wouldn't shut up about how this guy's done.
Oh, no.
And the brother turns around and goes, "Will you shut the fuck up?" And I was just like,
wow.
Yeah.
It's a sliding doors moment that night for the franchise.
Oh, man, it was tough. It was a rough moment.
Well, some have described Uncut Gems as the most Ringer movie made of the last 3 years.
I think that was
congrats on that. Yeah. It has the most things that we're interested in. I thought it was great.
Thank you.
Can't wait for it to come out. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you for watching.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks to Collection by Michael Strahan, available exclusively at JCPenney. Collection by Michael Strahan makes it easy to look good and feel your best no matter the occasion. The collection includes suit separates, sport coats, dress shirts, neckwear, belts, accessories, basics, denim, luggage, and shoes, big and tall, and boy sizes too. Collection by Michael Strahan, available exclusively at JCPenney. Visit a store near you or go to jcp.com. And don't forget, the Rewatchables on AMC. We're doing Elf. Yeah, we're going to be on your television Monday, December 16th, 8 p.m. Me and Chris Ryan getting in on AMC's Best Christmas Ever. Don't miss it. And then next week on this feed, it's happening. The longest Rewatchables podcast we've ever done, ever. Probably ever. Godfather 2. Godfather Part 2. Excuse me. Yeah, that's coming. Be ready. Until then.